Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to class two of how to think to yourself. Okay, so this is a four-part class, and we've already had one class. And I want to review what we talked about in the first class, and then we will move on to class two. Each of these classes will build upon each other to give you the full skill of mind management. And there's no part of any of these classes that you can delete or leave out or isn't important. One of the things that I wanted to share with all of you who are participating in this class is my whole philosophy for creating it. And we have to kind of go back a little bit. And remember that I have been coaching clients for 20 years now, and I have been coaching them on what to think to themselves and on thought mind management for that entire time. And as I've gone through and learned what works for myself, what works for my clients, we've gotten better and more efficient at all of the concepts and all of the ideas. And part of being a very good teacher, in my opinion, is taking the material and creating like a cliff note version of all of the concepts so you, as my student, can learn it, interpret it, and apply it faster. If I teach too much and I teach information that you don't need, then you spend more time learning and less time applying. And my goal is for you to apply everything I know and everything I've learned over the past 20 years. I want you to apply it faster than any student I've ever had, because I want to keep getting better at teaching it. And I want my coaches to get better at coaching you through it. Okay. So let's talk about what we talked about in the last session. Just want to double check. There we go. Okay. I just want to make sure my sound was good and everything. So the last session, what we talked about is why it is so important to understand what you're thinking and how to think and what to think. And it is still like absurd to me that we are not taught this skill in our education. And so it is my vendetta, my kind of mission to teach it, because we haven't taught it before. So here are the review of that. I basically taught you that you must start eavesdropping on your own mind if you want to understand how you are creating the quality of your own life. And so step one has to be really looking into your own mind and doing some thought downloads on your own or with a coach, so you can understand what thoughts, 60,000 of them a day, what thoughts you're currently thinking. That has to be step one. And step two is really understanding how those thoughts then create feelings in your life. Okay, so you have these thoughts in your life, and then you have feelings in your life, and feelings create that quality of life. You have a lot of really positive feelings, you have a really high quality of life. If you have a lot of negative feelings, you're going to have a lower quality of life. Okay, and today what I want to talk about is, I kind of want to move into the next phase of it, is once you've had this big thought download and you understand all the thoughts, and we demonstrated that yesterday, once you have those thought downloads and you understand these thoughts are making me feel this way, most everyone is like, excuse me, how do I change this? How do I get rid of this thought that's causing me so much pain and create a new thought that can cause something different? And I'm all for it. And I really want to teach you how to do that, but not until you understand a few very important concepts about the mind, emotions, and the world. Because there has been a lot of misinformation, a lot of misteaching about what a high quality of life means. And I would agree, for the most part, that understanding how to create positive emotion and positive actions and positive results in our lives increases the quality of our life. But we can't do that properly until we truly understand the part that negative emotion plays in our life and embrace it. Here's what I mean. It is my belief system and what I teach to all my students that life is 50-50. What is that? What do I have in my hair? Life is 50-50, meaning 50% positive and 50% negative. It is a beautiful balance. Okay. Now, here's why I believe that. We can't have a life that's 100% positive because we wouldn't understand that it was positive if there's nothing to compare it to. You can't have happiness without unhappiness. I like to describe it as a world where you're always exactly as beautiful as you want to be, and so is everybody else. Everybody's kind to each other all the time. Everyone wins the lottery every single day. Everyone can eat whatever they want and never gain weight. Nothing ever challenges us or pushes us into a state of frustration. We're just always positive all of the time. There's no friction to the positivity, so you can't even define it. You can't contrast it with anything, so you don't even know that it's positive. It's like my idea of heaven is you're in heaven and it's so great, but you don't even know that it's great because there's nothing to compare it to. You're not like, oh, that's terrible and this is great and this is the land of great. Because in order to be in the land of great, you have to also be in the land of not great so you can compare to know that you're in the land of great. Okay, so that being said, when we're constantly being told, you should be happy, you should be successful, you should be great, you should be, put a smile on your face, oh, things will get better, right? Always constantly telling us that we should be happy. And then also this other kind of underlying message that there's something terribly wrong with the world because it's not 100% positive and light. And when you take those two things, there's something wrong with the world and there's something wrong with us because we're not happy all the time. And there's something wrong with the world because it's not positive all the time. We end up being tremendously unhappy about our own happiness. And we pile on unhappiness to necessary unhappiness. If we would just know and accept that life is negative half of the time, we could eliminate a lot of the unhappiness that we create and the unnecessary suffering that we create because we're unhappy. So before we move on to creating happy thoughts and happy feelings, you must know first that you're gonna wanna feel negative some of the time. What? So here's what I mean by this. I have clients, they'll come to me, they'll be like, this 50-50 thing, I don't like it. I want like 80-20. And I'm like, okay, but here's why that can't work. Unless you're buffering, in denial, avoidance, or in reaction, which we'll go into more detail about all of those things. But the reason why that can't work is because we live in a world that is 50-50. So in order to be happy all of the time, and what creates our happiness, remember, what creates our happiness, what creates our emotional life are our thoughts. So in order for us to be happy all of the time, we would have to have happy thoughts about everything, which means we'd have to have happy thoughts about all the tragedies and all the negative things that happen in the world. Or we spend our entire life trying to change the world and make it less than 50-50, which never works. If you look at history and you look at how we have evolved as human beings, it has gotten way better. I've been watching this show on TV called The Vikings. Like, the way that human beings used to live is insane. It has gotten so much better. Like, just for the mere fact that they didn't have electricity, for the mere fact that they didn't have pain relievers, that they didn't have contact lenses, that they didn't have, you know, disinfectants. I mean, as I'm watching the show, I'm just like, the world is amazing now, but it's not 100% positive, because as we've made things better, we've created new problems and we're still at the 50-50. And according to history and the way the world seems to be working now, I think that's going to be the same for the rest of our lives. So what does that mean? When we make peace with the world being 50-50 and having the balance of positive and negative, we can make that peace with ourselves. And we will choose to have negative thoughts about negative things, which means we will choose to feel negative emotion. And we shouldn't feel ashamed about this. We shouldn't feel upset about this. We shouldn't feel like someone should cheer us up about this. We shouldn't feel like we should be in a hurry not to be in negative emotion. For example, if there's a tragedy that happens in the world, I want to feel bad about it. If there's an injustice that happens in the world, I want to feel bad about it. If something happens to one of my children, to one of my friends, to one of my loved ones, to you, I want to feel bad about it. I don't want to create thoughts that make me happy about tragic things. I want to feel the tragedy of my life. Until we're in a world with no contrast, where we won't even know that we're in the best world in the world because we won't have anything to compare it to, I want to be in the world that we're in. And the world that we're in is 50-50, negative and positive. And so I want to feel bad about the bad things that I interpret as bad. And I want to feel good about the good things that I interpret as good. Now, here's what's amazing. I get to decide what's a tragedy in my life. I get to decide what I want to be mad about. I get to decide consciously what to be sad about, what to be depressed about, what to be anxious about. I don't have to be unconscious and feel like I'm at the effect of those things, but it also doesn't mean that I want to change my thoughts to be positive all of the time. Okay. So as you go through with your coach or in your own download, your own personal thought download, and you look at your thoughts, you may see some negative thoughts in there that you don't want to change, that you want to remain negative about. That's beautiful. That's consciousness. But I'm also going to promise you that you're probably going to see some thoughts in there that are unnecessary suffering, that are thoughts that are optional, that aren't serving you or the world or the balance of 50-50 in your life. Now, here's the magic of being willing to embrace the negative 50-50. And this is what I've seen happen with so many of my students. As you accept negative emotion in your life, and as you embrace it, and as you're willing to experience it, what you understand is that thoughts and feelings in your body won't kill you. You can process an emotion beginning to end and feel completely alive in your life for having done so. But because we aren't taught the concept of 50-50, and because we aren't embracing negative emotion, so many of us are doing what I call buffering, which means instead of feeling the true emotions of our lives, we're going and eating, we're going and drinking, we're doing drugs, we're watching porn, we're going on social media, because we don't want to experience our own mind. We don't want to experience what we're thinking to ourselves. We don't want to experience our own interpretation of our own world. So we're escaping something that we're creating. Now, listen, if that worked, if that escaping worked, I would be a fan. I overate all through my 20s. It didn't work, is the problem. I avoided the emotion, which is the same as turning off the light, but I created so much more negative consequence for myself that was so unnecessary. And because I didn't know how to process the negative emotion, I just kept eating more. I just kept drinking more. I just kept doing more to escape from my own brain. The magic of embracing what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and the 50-50 of life is that you're not afraid to feel. You don't need to run and eat food that'll make you gain weight. You don't need to watch Netflix and not do your work. You can process emotion. and your level of discipline will skyrocket. Your confidence will skyrocket. Your ability to get things done, your level of discipline will skyrocket when you're willing to experience that emotion. So how can you practice this? My number one recommendation is that you practice with your coach, and that on your coaching session, after you do your thought download, you find a thought that's creating maybe a negative emotion for you, and maybe one that you're buffering to, or you're trying to escape. And you just sit and be with whatever that emotion is, and you just experience it, and you just feel it as a vibration in your body. Now, many of us, if we had tragic or traumatic childhoods, couldn't learn how to process emotion fast enough because there was so much of it. So we actually learned how to buffer in order to survive. But as adults, there isn't any emotion that you aren't able to process, that you can't genuinely process for yourself. And it sometimes takes weeks to get through emotions, and sometimes it takes just short acknowledgments to process it through. For me, for example, if I'm feeling angry, I often, like with my partner, I'll say, listen, I'm not going to talk right now. I need to process this first. I don't want to react to it. I don't want to escape it. I just want to process it. And so, like, for example, if it's anger, if there's something I'm really mad about, what I'll do is just find the thought causing it and just be in it. Experience that buzzing that I have in my chest, the vibration I have in my body. And I just hold space for that. And that's something your coach can do for you too. And at the end of that emotion is freedom. At the end of that emotion, I can decide whether to change that thought or not. Sometimes I want to be mad. Sometimes I want to feel that emotion. But there's a huge difference between choosing a negative thought and a negative emotion and being at the effect of it unconsciously and feeling like a victim of it. It's a night and day difference to be able to live a more conscious life. So once you've really identified those thoughts, feelings that are creating those negative emotions, and you've really kind of separated out the ones you want to keep that are negative, but there are some that you're going to want to change. There are thoughts that you're going to have. And we demonstrated some of those last week the last class when we talked about this. Many of the people who came on and were brave enough and willing enough to be coached demonstrated to us how so many of their thoughts are causing them so much unnecessary pain and creating results that they don't want to be thinking and they don't want to be creating. So when you find a thought like that, you can change it. Now, let me give you an example of one that I found in my own life. And it was, I hate my body. Now, this wasn't something that I said to myself out loud. This wasn't even a thought that I knew was a thought. I just thought it was true. And I remember when I recognized that it was just a sentence in my mind. And the visualization that I had is I took that sentence out of my brain and I just set it on my hand, like a little sentence, like capital letter, I hate my body, period, right? I just looked at it, separated it from me. There was me, there was my brain, there was my body, and then there was this sentence. And the only real problem that I had was that sentence. I thought the problem was my body. And when I thought the thought, I hate my body, I felt defeated and hateful. And so I tried to change from feeling defeated and hateful by changing my body. But what I realized when I understood the power of what I think to myself is that I didn't even have to change my body. In fact, trying to change my body in order to feel better was backfiring because I didn't want to feel defeated and hateful. So I would just eat. I created a cycle that perpetuated the very thing I was trying not to do. It's crazy, right? So when I went back to that sentence, I made a decision in that moment and I said, I will not think or believe this ever again, period. Now, the question becomes, okay, if I don't want to think that because there's nothing useful about it, it's not part of the necessary negative 50-50 in my life, how do you get rid of a thought you don't want to have? For some of you, and we'll talk about this in the second half of class, I want to coach you. For some of you, it's, I can't make money. I can't be successful. I'm not smart enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not rich enough. I don't have what it takes. Whatever it is that's subtly going on that you think is just an observation. So for me, whenever I find a thought that isn't working in my life and that I don't want to keep, I ask myself if I could believe the exact opposite of it. Is that available to me? And I used to study a lot with Byron Katie, and that was one of the things that she would teach us, is just do what she would call a turnaround. Try to do the exact opposite of the thought. So the exact opposite of the thought, I hate my body, would be, I love my body. Now, I couldn't get there. It was like one of those toxic positivity kind of exercises where the more I said I loved my body, the more hate I felt. I just didn't believe it. Now, here's a very important point. If you don't believe the new thought, you won't feel the new thought. Okay. It won't feel positive if you don't believe it. So if I say to you, you're a billionaire, that's exciting. That's fun, but you don't believe it. So it's not going to make you feel excited, right? So I tried to do that. I tried to go to, I love my body, and I couldn't. But I did adopt the thought, I will never hate my body again, period. I never have since that day, since making that decision, since deciding that I would never believe or think the thought, I hate my body again. But what I did in addition to that is, I will never hate my body again. I created a thought, I have a body. And I replaced, I hate my body, with, I have a body. And some of our coaches call this like the laddering up technique. Instead of going from, you know, the extreme of I hate my body all the way up the ladder to I love my body, we sometimes have to kind of inch our way up with more neutral thoughts that are believable, but don't feel as bad. And so I went to I have a body, and I spent a lot of time with that thought. I have a body, I have a body. And I've started to feel the solidness of that, the gratefulness was the emotion that started to be produced from that thought, which was way better than hateful, right? But was way less than love of my own body. Okay. I just was at grateful. I have a body. It is true that I have a body. And I would spend some time with it. I have legs. I have arms, I have organs, I have eyeballs, I have ears. It really helped me dislodge from this constant barrage of hate that I had for my own body. And I have changed thousands of thoughts since then. Thousands of thoughts that cause me so much unnecessary torment in my life. And here's what's crazy. I've been doing this for 20 years. You would think that I could be more preventative with this. And I will say that a lot of times when you start cleaning out your brain, you do get rid of a lot of negative thoughts at a time. But the human brain is designed for survival. It's designed to keep you alive. And that primitive brain of yours is always looking for scary, ugly, terrible things. That's what it's designed to do. It's not because there's anything wrong with you. It's just because the way that our primitive brain was designed. So you will probably most likely for the rest of your life continue to produce thoughts that are negative, that create negative emotion in your life, that you are going to have to evaluate consciously. And it's not because you're not good at this. And it's not because you haven't had the right training. It's just because of how your brain was designed to evolve. But here's what's beautiful. That part of your brain that's always trying to find the negative in everything and everyone and in yourself is covered up by a higher quality brain, a more evolved brain That's the part of your brain that gets to evaluate and think about what you think about. It's the part of your brain that makes decisions and thinks about the future, and it overrides the survival brain. The survival brain is always going to tell you to rest. It's always going to tell you to seek and indulge in pleasure. And it's always going to tell you to avoid pain at all costs. And there was a time when this was so important for us to survive as a species. But now we have more pleasure than we know what to do with. We have to put ourselves in harm's way a little bit in order to challenge ourselves to create the lives that we want to create, which means we put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. Back in the day, we never had to do that because we would die if we didn't. We'd have to like talk ourselves into it. Hey, do you think we should go get some food today? Nah, I don't know. Something good on TV. We're in a cave starving. We're either going to die or we're going to go get some food. That's it. It's not like, oh, I don't feel like going to work today. It was like, okay, if you don't go to work today, you're not living. But now we still have that motivational triad in our primitive brain that says, you know, rest and get pleasure and avoid pain. But on top of it, we have the brain that understands that we've evolved beyond that. And we can counter that primitive brain with new thoughts to think. And if you've listened to my podcast and followed my work, I provide you with so many thoughts that you can think that will override that primitive brain that helps you be more disciplined, that helps you take more action, that helps you make decisions ahead of time, that helps you not indulge in pleasure all the time and get your dopamine from the long-term creative goals that you have in your life. So as we start creating these new thoughts and we start trying them on, I like to create a new thought and then try it on like a dress and be like, huh, how does this feel? Do I believe it? And sometimes a new thought will just click in. Sometimes you get a new thought without even realizing it. You'll read a new thought in a book and believe it, or a friend will give you a compliment, or a teacher or a boss will tell you something about yourself and you believe them. You're really just adopting that new thought into your head and you're starting to believe it. I am good at this. I am smart. Maybe you'll have an accomplishment and then you'll start thinking, oh, I am confident. I am great. And you'll start believing that new thought and feeling that new thought. So as we try on these new thoughts and we feel these new thoughts, we can live into them. And what we're going to do in class 3 is talk about how when we start generating the emotions in our bodies that we really need and really want in our lives, we can start creating and taking action beyond anything we've ever done, which means we will get the results that we want in our life at 10 times the level we've ever been able to do before. Because when you're trying to create results by taking action against your own brain, it is almost impossible. But when you change your brain first and you create the emotion that fuels the action of the thing you want to create in your life, that's when everything can change. But we had to go first through uncovering what you're thinking and feeling, and then changing what you're thinking and feeling by being willing to process any emotion that comes and generate new emotion and be tuned into that emotion. I want to explain to you that because I've changed the way I think, my levels of emotion are so much higher. My emotional intelligence means I understand what I'm feeling all of the time, and I understand why I'm feeling it. I understand how to up my level of emotion for whatever it is I want to do, or down my level of emotion for whatever it is that I want to do. And I do that by managing my mind. One of the most important things I can teach any of you is that this has to be something that you do consistently. This has to be a practice where you decide on purpose to live a conscious life. And living a deliberate conscious life means you pay attention to what you're thinking and you think on purpose. So today, what I would love to do is coach you for the rest of the time here and have you raise your hand if you'd like to be coached. And we'll look at your current thoughts And we'll look at the ones you want to change, and I'll help you change them. I'll help you try on new ones. I'll help you explore new emotions that you want to have. One of the things that we can do is you can look at how you're currently feeling today, how you're currently feeling in your life, and find the thoughts that you have that are creating those emotions. And let's together change them and try in some new thoughts and create some new energy and some new emotions. And then next time we meet, we are going to really talk about how we can up-level the amount of feeling that we have in order to take the action that we want to take. Taking action is one of the secrets to ingraining the thought. So if you think a new thought and then you take action to prove that thought true, that will become a permanent conscious thought in your life. And I want to teach you how to do that. I want to teach you the skill of doing that. People look at me all the time. They're like, how do you create such amazing results in your life? This is exactly how I do it. There's nothing more complicated. This is the simplest thing to do, but you have to do it consistently.
Hi.
What's happening?
Well, I'm quite pissed today because I had an argument with my boyfriend earlier, and I managed the conversation quite well. But after that, I like took a shower and I was thinking, yeah, I always have to manage everything, but then who helps me? And who helps me manage? And I have my own brain, which is quite nice, but sometimes I'm like, oh. Well, my thought was, if he could figure out his brain better, my life would be easier.
Listen, that is actually true in my world too. If everyone else would just manage their brains, I wouldn't have to manage mine so much. Yeah, that thought, think about it. Okay, it sounds kind of positive, right? If he would manage his brain more, yeah, right? My life would be easier. But when you think that thought, how do you feel?
Discouraged.
Right, because he's not going to manage his brain better, right? It's not going to happen. So mm-hmm. you feel discouraged, even though it would be so nice. Mm-hmm. So what do you want to believe about your boyfriend? Is that him in the back?
Yeah, but he doesn't speak English, so it's okay.
Oh, okay, good. I just want to make sure.
Well, everything that comes up is that if you managed his brain, it would be easier. It just keeps popping. And then because I tried other thoughts, I tried to be understanding. I don't like that. I try to be like, yeah, I don't really know what other thought I could.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If you were better at managing your mind, would it be easier? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so listen, this is real. This is what I learned when I was doing this work. When I first started doing this work, I had that thought about my mom. I'm like, my mom should figure this stuff out. She should take these courses. She should manage her mind better. And then I all of a sudden had this thought, and it's like, if I can be happy and loving in my relationship with my mom, it means that I've really genuinely learned how to manage my own mind without trying to change her. And I will tell you, it's the hardest work that I did, but it's made me such an amazing coach. And it's made me so good at managing my own mind. Because listen, in many ways, if we could just control the world, we wouldn't ever have to manage our mind. But you only want to kind of go a certain amount of the way, and then you want him to pick up the rest. But you wanting that is causing you so much pain.
Yeah. And I find it quite difficult to, you know, when there is an argument and I'm like, oh, I can process it and it's okay. But then I see the other one is like hangry or something. And then it's like an energy aura that keeps like coming, and I'm like, oh, I feel bad.
Yeah. No, listen, I have the same thing. I'm actually in a relationship with someone right now, a friendship, and I can tell that they're mad at me about something.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like being passive aggressive. They're not like talking about it with me, but just kind of giving me the cold shoulder a little bit. And I have to spend a lot of time managing my mind around it. Like I want them to just talk to me about it and just stop being passive aggressive and just let's get over this, right? But instead, I'm like, what if I just let them be who they are? It doesn't mean I won't talk to them about it, but first I want to process what's going on for me and really understand my own mind. And my thought right now is they should do it differently. And as long as my thought is that, I'm not taking action because they're never going to do it the way I want to do it. And even when they do it the way I want to do it, they don't do it right. You know what I mean? So, but I can let them be them and appreciate them. So when you think the thought, he should do it differently, he should manage his mind better, he should do it at least as well as I do, you're not getting anywhere good. You're feeling discouraged. You're feeling frustrated. So I come back to the question of when that happens, you could think a thought like, he doesn't have to manage his mind better because I manage my mind so well. Mm-hmm. Now, some of us will feel victimized by that and we'll feel frustrated by that and we'll feel like they should do, do, do. But what I have found is I feel empowered by that because I can carry the weight of the emotional work that's in my own brain. He doesn't need to behave in a different way so I can feel better, because even if he did, he wouldn't do it right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a thought you're not really going to believe a lot in the beginning, right? You're not going to be like, oh, I'll just do everything. Whoopee!
I already do that. So I can just embrace the thought now.
Right? Exactly. So you want to try that thought on, but I can tell, like, as I present it to you, you're kind of like, I don't know about that one. But what you could do is, this is how you could go from he should manage it better to this is how he manages his brain, period. Now what?
And how do I react? Because I'm going to tell you about the argument. So maybe
it
is bad. So I was looking for bread and you put the bread on the upper shelf. I didn't see it. And I said, oh, you could put the bread. Could you put the bread on the lower shelf so I can see it? It's like, oh, you're always telling me to do stuff. And then my mind was already like,
why? Wait, what did he say? He said, you're always telling me what?
Yeah, you're always telling me to do this or to do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, but then it's just, I don't see it. So if I don't see it, then could you put it on a lower shelf? And then, yeah, his mind was saying, yeah, you're always telling me this and that and every little thing that I do wrong. And I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't see it this way. I thought it's not a critic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's seeing as he's being criticized and he's doing it wrong and he can't do anything right. And from your intention, you were just like, nah, I didn't say you did it wrong. I just can't see it. Could you just put it down? But see, that's a perfect example of you being able to manage your mind and not requiring him not to be defensive. Mm-hmm. Because when you understand how the brain works, you understand that he's sitting there just minding his own business. And then here you come and tell him you're doing the bread wrong. Really? I can't even do the bread right. I can't even put the bread on the right shelf. Like, come on, lady. Why are you always on me? Right? So
yeah, that's, you understand exactly.
That's what's going on in his brain. You can have so much more compassion and so much more understanding. And you can see, oh, well, there's something going on with him where he's feeling criticized. He's feeling like he's not good enough. He's being defensive. That has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you're really managing your brain, you could be like, this is how he reacts sometimes. And that's okay. This is how he behaves. And that's okay. This is how he manages an argument. And that's okay. And from that place, you're going to manage yourself better. Now, he may never change and your relationships may look like this, but at least you won't be miserable over it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But then I don't know how to react. Like, am I supposed to just say, oh, sorry, and move on with my life?
Well, let's think about it. You say to him, hey, could you put the bread lower? Because I can't see it up there. And then he reacts and gets defensive. What could you say? You're asking me, how could you react? Now, if your thought is, this is just how he responds sometimes, and that's okay. And you just felt calm about it, what might you say to him?
Oh, I was not trying to criticize you. I was just like looking for the bread.
Yeah, I mean, even like for me, what I would be like is, yo, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just short. Yeah. You know what I mean? It all of a sudden diffuses it right there. It's like, oh no, you listen, this isn't on you. This is on me. I'm just short. I'm asking you to do me a favor. You just spin it because you understand how his brain is working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm telling you, I have avoided so many stupid arguments by understanding how the brain works. But you can't do that if you're not managing your own brain, because you'll be defensive from his defensive. You're like, whoa, I was just telling you to move the bread. I couldn't find it. And then you're both like yelling at each other over the freaking bread. But it's not just about the bread, right? It's about how both of your minds are thinking. Your mind is thinking like he's inconsiderate, not really thinking about this. And his mind is, I can't do anything right. Mm-hmm. That's a mess. That's a mess. So if you can understand that that's what's going on, you'll mitigate everything. And I will tell you, Marianne Williams has said this one time, and it's one of the truest things I've ever heard. It only takes one person to make the relationship amazing.
Oh, I love that.
Because you can't have a fight with one person.
Mm.
So that's what I invite you to do in your arguments, in your relationships, for all of you, is keep an eye on your own minds and notice the thoughts that are causing you to have ridiculous, unnecessary arguments, and notice the thoughts that help you create the peace and love and connection that you really want. All right, my friend?
And is it okay if I have some sassy thought about it? Like, my thought is, oh, I could just use my brain because then I'm smarter. But then the result is that everything's okay. But
this is a great question. It depends on how you feel. Because if you think this thought, well, I'm using my brain because I'm so much smarter than him, and then you feel smug or resentful, you're going to cause problem. But if you feel loving and kind and wonderful. So that's how you know, should I wear this thought or that thought? How does it make you feel? If it makes you feel like justified and smug, you'll feel that disconnection. But if it makes you feel loving and kind, all day.
Amazing.
That's what I recommend.
It really helped me. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Hi, Brooke.
What's up?
So much. I'm feeling like I had this momentum and I was going to Portugal and I met the guy and all that. And, you know, that it didn't work out with the guy, and I met someone else and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And then 2 days ago, I found out that the first guy died.
Oh, no.
3 days ago. And, you know, I'm just kind of a little shaken by it and thinking, you know, I had this momentum. I thought I was doing this, and now everything seems to be falling apart. And I haven't gotten new clients in 4 months. And it's just like I'm just at a standstill. And I've been getting coaching and working on it, but I don't know what the thought is that has me feeling.
You don't know what the thought is?
No.
Everyone on this call knows what the thought is.
Really?
Everything is falling apart. I had momentum and now I don't. And then you proved it true to us. You're like, yeah, because this happened and then this happened and then this happened. So boom, what are you going to do now, Brooke Castillo? Listen, if you have a thought, everything is falling apart, you're going to look for everything that's falling apart.
Right.
If you have a thought, everything's amazing, I'm amazing, this is all part of the plan, you're going to feel differently, right?
Yeah.
So why does the brain want to go to everything is falling apart? I've lost my momentum.
Well, because it can find evidence.
Yeah. It's just easier to indulge. Listen, when I think of you and talk about you, because I talk about you all the time, you're an inspiration. Your momentum is on fire. Your experiences are extraordinary. And if you believe that, what will you feel? You'll feel motivated and excited. You'll want to take action and you'll go out and date some more and you'll get some more clients and you'll process your feelings about this man that you were dating. right? Whether that's grief or disappointment or shock or whatever that is, you'll process that through and you'll move on with being a human. But it's when we throw our hands up, everything's falling apart. Some things have been negative and some things have been positive. Oh, okay. Seems like life, right?
Right.
So what's working?
Well, what's working is that even though I had clients that left, I'm still making the same amount of money, even though I have.
Oh, there's clients. That.
Yeah, this year I owe $40,000 in taxes, and last year I didn't owe any taxes because I made over 200 last year. I did go to Portugal, and I plan to go again when I get my business stabilized. Yeah. My YouTube channel's almost up.
Yes.
So that's exciting. And I'm building up my mailing list and starting to build a funnel.
You're an extraordinary human being. Period. If you thought and believed that.
Oh, and I'm going, and I have to tell everyone.
I have some more evidence.
I'm going to Pilates 7 days a week.
What is happening? Listen, this is everything. Be careful, my friends, with what you think. This is simply two thoughts that are optional. I've lost momentum and everything's falling apart are two thoughts that are going to get you down one road. I'm an extraordinary human being doing extraordinary things is going to take you a different road. And I'm going to be tough with you about this because those thoughts are nonsense. Okay. And you're having fun. You're having way more fun dating and being in the world and running your business than most of us. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, I'm really only coaching 2 days a week.
Okay. Come on. Now you're just showing off.
I am.
Let's go. I'm so proud of you. Watch your thoughts, my friend. You have a thought, everything is falling apart. That will derail your life completely unnecessarily. All right. Your thought you're going to practice is I'm an extraordinary human being having an extraordinary life. And then prove that true, which you just did with all the evidence you just gave us.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Love it. All right, my friends, this is what we're going to do. Next class, we are going to take this process of creating new thoughts and new emotions, generating those new emotions to take new actions. We're going to talk about your behaviors and your actions and how you can take massive action in order to cement that new belief, in order to prove that new thought true. I'm going to teach you the technique for that in next class. Talk to you then. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.